Last week I shared with us, or 2 weeks ago, the root of answered prayers. Today is part two, and I'm going to try and finish it. But for those who were not here, just a quick recap. We said, with joy, you draw water from the wells of salvation. And I said, salvation is not just being saved from sin. Salvation is not just, I have made Jesus my Lord and personal Savior, I am going to heaven. Salvation is compound. Salvation carries with it so much more than we can fathom and understand. Salvation is everything that God has on offer for you and I. Hallelujah. And I said that the root of answered prayers is faith and thanksgiving. That is the prayer of faith and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Sometimes, when you are not in expectation, the truth of the matter is, expectation, hope, elicits joy, exuberance inside a person. When somebody gives you a promise and you are hopeful, joy comes into your life. Strength comes into your life. Hallelujah. In the same way, when you begin to thank God based on the promises of God and based on all that God had done for you, you know what? God releases joy into your life. I can't repeat everything that we said last week, but we need to just move on from here. But one other thing I need to explain to us is, remember that you are not existing for yourself. God created you and I for himself. God is not there for me. If you understand what I'm trying to say, God is not in existence because of me. Let me put it that way. But I am in existence because of God. Psalm 100 says, we are the works of his hand. He's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. We belong to him. We owe him. And he doesn't owe us anything. That's why the church needs to stop acting as if God is owing you something. God is not owing nobody jack. We owe him everything. We owe him the oxygen we breathe. We owe him our lives. We owe him sleeping. We owe him waking. We owe him having emotions, having a feeling. There are some people somewhere today, doctors are pinching their foot and they can't even feel it. When appreciation meets with prayer of faith, something incredible is about to happen. Hallelujah. And we shared the story of the 10 lepers in Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. They stood afar off. There's something synonymous with this story that I want to touch on. Do you know that people with the same situation always locate themselves? Hallelujah. Huh? People with the same problems, somehow, they always find themselves. When you are in a congregation of people and there are somebody with a bad attitude, suddenly that person will find somebody else who has a bad attitude. A complainer will find another complainer so that they can complain together. We may be together, though, in a situation. Something may be synonymous to all of us. But guess what? The outcomes of our heart and the thoughts of our heart are also different. We see it how the lives of these 10 lepers played out. Amen? One came back. One returned. And we said, like Psalms 100 says in verse 4, 5, 6, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When they were crying to Jesus for mercy, they were afar off. And I said to us that if you are thinking in your mind, oh yes, they are unclean, so they can't come near Jesus. God is holy. He doesn't like unholiness. But guess what? Unholiness cannot make God unholy. Did somebody hear me? Huh? Unholiness cannot make God unholy. No matter how strong the darkness, if a tiny light comes, the darkness will still go away. Darkness cannot cover any kind of light. That's why I said to us, when somebody has a bad spirit and they say, let's move away from them. No, that person must move away from me. Amen? Because what I carry is stronger than what he carries. Praise the Lord. But they couldn't come near. They simply had nothing in their heart to be grateful for. But when this man on their way to the priest, I'm not going to go through the semantics of the story I shared and some of the lessons we learned. Go and download our church app and listen to that message all over again. But there's still some points to bring out here. He returned, worshipped him. The Bible said he worshipped at his feet. The one with gratitude in his heart was the only one that can come close to the King of Kings. Those with no gratitude can't come close. You can't come near God without a heart of thanksgiving. This man had access to Jesus. Why? He was the only one who was grateful. Let me tell you something. Because something happens to you, you term a blessing. Does not mean you are special to God. Hello? The rain of God falls upon the wicked and the righteous. The Son of God shines upon the wicked and the righteous. But when it comes to heaven, when it comes to closeness to God, God chooses. He picks out. There are things he's looking for. One of the things he's looking for that can come close to him is a heart of gratitude. If you are not thankful, you can't come close. But when you give God heartfelt thanksgiving, like I said last week, it's an acknowledgement of the goodness of God. Today we still hear people say negative things about God. There is nothing God could have done for them. There are people, if it rains today, they will complain. If the sun shines today, they will complain. If it's cold today, they will complain. There's nothing that happens around them that they are appreciative of. You meet some people and you say, good morning. They will ask you, what's good in the morning? Your feeling is temporary. It's temporary. Don't base your life on how you feel now. Have you noticed while you were fasting that by the time I'm going to break, I will eat? And then when you get the food, you really can't eat it because you were basing your decision on how you were feeling at 10:30 in the morning. Does somebody understand what I mean? Don't make decisions based on temporary feelings. What's good in the morning? I've been to stores where there were so much issues going on. They made mistakes on my card, blah, blah, blah. And this woman was complaining. I said, it's a beautiful day. Really? I said, yes. He said, you are not angry? I said, no. It's a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Your appreciation can change a negative situation that could have happened to you into a positive one. And we said worship is the acknowledgement of God's holiness. Praise is the acknowledgement of the greatness of God. When I see somebody who is not praising God, I see somebody who is selfish. Listen to this word. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer to themselves. Somebody gave me the life I'm living. Then I shouldn't live to myself, but live according to the life of the one who gave that life to me in appreciation. Who are you living for? Who you are living for determines whether your heart is grateful or not. And mind you, I said, your thanksgiving is not just by mouth. The mouth says a lot of things that the heart is not connected to. And most of the time, get people into trouble. But one thing is, no man can deceive God with their words. Hello? You can deceive a man with the words of your mouth. I mean it. I don't know what that means, though. What is the meaning of that? Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Hallelujah. You know? Let your thanksgiving have substance. You know? I've been in situations many times whereby when I'm thanking God, maybe I present an offering before God for thanksgiving, and my heart will still be telling me, are you sure what you gave is enough to thank God for what he did? An unthankful person is a selfish person. An unthankful person is a person living outside the grace of God. Do you remember? If you don't do it in your home, maybe you watch it in movies. You sit down, you want to eat. Somebody say, let somebody say grace. Is that true? Right? Let's say the grace over the food. Now, do you say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with? No. What it means is, let us thank God. Grace and thanksgiving, they are intertwined. Thanksgiving brings the outpouring of grace. Thanksgiving is an anchor, a hook that you throw up and grace pours down. If you are lacking grace, it's because you are lacking in thanksgiving. Amen? Thanksgiving and grace, they walk hand in hand. When you are full of thanksgiving to God, a bucket load of grace pours upon your life. Colossians 3:15 to 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Watch this. To which also ye were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Doing what? Singing with what? Grace there means singing with thanks. Singing with appreciation in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Doing what? Giving thanks unto God the Father through him, that is through Jesus Christ. This is to say, you know what, church? You are not permitted to do anything without thanking God. Did you hear me? You are not permitted to do anything without thanking God. Without thanksgiving, don't try it. It won't be acceptable. The question now is what you are doing and what you have been doing and what you are about to give, does it give thanks? Does it honor God? Even in our giving, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Honor him. Why honor him? Because, Lord, if it was not for you, I couldn't have gotten what I got. If you didn't give me the life, if you didn't give me the grace, if you didn't give me the talent, if you didn't give me the know-how, there was no way I could have done it. So I return honor to you. Now, going back to the lepers, one came back. Nine didn't. The nine thought that they have gotten all they can get. They left too early. Have you left a place too early? And later you regretted it that, oh, if only I could have waited a little bit more. If only I could have, I returned. They left too early. They left without the favor of God on their life. That's why we say in church, I heard this first from Reverend George. He said, don't leave before the grace so that you are not disgraced. Don't leave before the final benediction. Because sometimes we think that all we can get, we already gotten. But you know what? Sometimes God has an addendum that only those who stayed, only those who returned, always receive it. Some people receive the most important things of their life at the last minute. You're going to permit me today. Just going to go over a little bit. I went to a church to minister many years ago, many years ago. And we're about 5 minutes to, I was about 5 minutes to rounding up the word. I saw this brother walking. I saw him come in. He came in and he sat down while I was preaching. And I rounded up. Then he came and met me with a big envelope in his hand. I didn't know who he was. He said, Pastor, there's something you said that really blessed me. I saw when he came in. I was about closing the service. In my mind, I was like, bro, you missed everything. What could I have said? But when I got home, the instrument in the envelope showed me that he was really blessed. And he didn't end there. One day, this same brother met me in Amsterdam. I wanted to buy his sunglasses. Some of you will know these Bulgari sunglasses I used to put on my face sometimes before. I think my face is bigger than the glasses. God help my wife. You know. He saw me there. I was rummaging through, checking for a sunglasses. Ah, Pastor, hi. Oh, hi. He said, what are you buying? I said, I'm just looking through. Which one do you like? The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. I was hiring the Bulgari and a Pierre Balmain wristwatch. I said, this hand. He said, that's it. I said, yes. He said, okay, I'll pay for it. And he paid for it. And that was not all. On Bond Street, London, I went into a shoe shop. Lo and behold, he was a part owner of the store. Oh, pastor, this, that, that. I ended up going out with free shoes. I didn't even buy any shoe. When something starts, when something happens, it doesn't mean that's the end of it. It might just be the beginning of the blessing. And then many people shut it out. These nine lepers shut it out because they believe they've had all they could get. But one, because of his thanksgiving. Jesus said, were there not nine? He said, but only this stranger, this Samaritan, returned to say thank you. He said, go, your faith has made thee whole. The rest were healed, but they were not whole. They thought the healing they received was enough. But this man now, from healing to wholeness, not only to wholeness, he was the only one who could touch Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't give up too early. Those not returning to say thank you. Why? They were ignorant. And they forgot that there may be more. More to be received. More that your benefactor can give you. The one who comes back to say thank you has positioned himself to receive more. To them, going to see the priest was the end of the journey. It was actually the beginning. Hallelujah. Am I giving you something? You receive a miracle. Your miracle is not the end. Your miracle is not the end. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Sir, ma, don't leave before you get it all. Don't leave before you get everything. Don't leave without the blessing. Don't get angry and walk away. Oh, the king annoyed me and you walk away. You forfeit your blessing. You don't get angry because the king is angry with you. Two things can happen. He can cut off your head and he can promote you. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't leave before he lets you go. With Jesus, with the Lord, there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. When you are really full of the Holy Spirit, that's another way to gauge if you have the Holy Spirit of God. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will always give thanks. You will always give thanks. In conclusion, let me give you one more point before I conclude. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. I try to practice this all the time. At home, anywhere in my car, anywhere I go. I just want to be filled with joy. You know, sometimes when people see me, some people have said that pastor is always frowning. Because I don't want you to disturb my rejoicing, my flow. Many times you are in a zone and people just tick you off zone. So when you see my face, you go your way, I go my way. But it's not because I'm angry against anybody. I'm not. You know? My wife knows me very well. I'm somebody who can bust out at any moment's notice. You know? Sometimes she's startled. Say, what happened? I said, nothing happened. You know? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you are not giving thanks, you are not in the will of God. If you are not thanking God, you are not in the will of God. It says the will of God is to thank God for every situation. When you become matured, it does not matter what happens to you. The first thing in your mouth will be thank you. Because he says in everything. He didn't say in only good things. In closing, I want to quickly show us something and I'll close. So important. So important. John chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 11 through to verse 13, and then I will read one more scripture. John 6, 11 to 13. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, did he pray? Hello? What did he do? He gave thanks. He distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Many times we stop there. because we didn't see value. All we saw is bread multiplied, fish multiplied. But there's a value. Verse 23. For better understanding, verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein to his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias near unto, watch, unto where? The place where they did eat bread. Do you know they could have stopped there? Hello? The place where they did eat bread. Full stop. Nobody will argue. But he said, after that the Lord had given thanks. The value is not the bread. It's the giving thanks. The value is not what you got. Is what you give. Hello? Did somebody understand what I'm just saying? The value is not bread they ate, but because he gave thanks. Rise up on your feet. Keyboardist. Come on now, lift up your hands. Let's begin to thank him. Let's begin to thank him.